The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Right, at 8:48 a.m., we will cross to Australia because North Melbourne got off to winning ways in the new AFLW season at the weekend after beating Geelong. And one of the stars on show was Mayo's Aileen Gilroy, who I'm delighted to say is with us now. Aileen, how are you getting on?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very well. So top of the ladder after the first game, not a bad start to a season.
No, I suppose after round one, that's where you want to be, is at the top of the leaderboard. We didn't know how it was going to go, and I suppose we got a new manager in this year, Croc. So he was just kind of wanted to see where we were. Against Geelong last year, it was kind of a tough battle for maybe three quarters of the game. So I suppose that was in the back of our minds as well going into round one. So we just wanted to go out there and do our best, do what we've been working on, and the results looked after itself. So we're absolutely delighted with the way we played.
Do you know that you're on song going into the game? Did you feel the training was going well and that big performance was coming?
Yeah, I suppose so. 2 weeks prior to that, we actually had played Collingwood in a practice game, and we lost that game. So I think that was kind of the kick that we needed. I suppose the girls had been doing pre-season before this, and they said they were going well, but everyone thinks they're going well until they get to play another team. So I think we learned a lot from that. I think you learn a lot more from your defeats than you do from your wins. So we went back, we analysed how that game went, and I definitely think we improved on the little things that went wrong that day. And for that, I'd say that's what improved us and got the result in the end.
Your own performance at the weekend was very impressive. Your stat line was 3 disposals, 11 kicks and 7 tackles. Out of those 3 numbers, which is the one that you're most happy with? Is there a specific area that you were targeting?
I suppose tackling, definitely as a defender, that's what you're there to do. You're trying to get in the tackles as much as you can. I suppose spoils in is obviously really important as well. You know, that means that your player isn't getting the ball either. So with that, it was definitely between the tackles and the spoils. So I was happy enough with those 2 stats. I suppose I set my bar up there now, so I have to keep improving that and keep aiming for it every single week.
We often talk about the different ball skills that are required when people like you go down to Australia. How much had you to work on the tackle technique and the difference in the tackle technique?
I suppose this is my second year out here. So last year we actually didn't do a lot of tackling at the very start. So and I was just coming back from ACL as well. So they were trying to keep me out of contact as much as possible just up before Christmas. So I didn't get a lot to do with tackling. But then up into the practice games last year, I suppose if you don't start tackling right, you won't be long getting found out. So I think them practice games definitely stood to me. And then that was probably a part that I was trying to work on, because it's such a big part of the game over here. So definitely the tackling was the toughest, but I think I have definitely improved in it, but always room for improvement. So just have to keep going for it.
Do you get many opportunities to hammer home the skills of the tackle outside of training? Obviously, again, when it comes back to the ball skills, it's a bit more obvious in terms of how you can actually practice that on your own. Are you training with somebody else? Are you trying to get a few extra minutes outside of training to try and nail the art of the tackle?
Yeah, just outside training, definitely. Even if it's just after we come off from the pitch, that I can just grab one of the coaches and try and do tackling with them. Even the girls as well, they're eager to do that as well. I suppose the likes of Emma Kearney there in the middle, and Jazz Grayson, everything like that, they're very, very good quality players, and they're always willing to help me as well and always giving pointers as well. So if there's any chance that I do and try and get the tackles, I do them off when I finish up in training, and then just maybe do, if it's only an extra 10 minutes every training session on my tackling, I try and do it as much as I can. But the coaches are always there and a helping hand whenever you want. So I suppose that's the best part of being a professional out here. They're always at your call. They're always trying to get you better. So that's always, it's handy in that kind of way.
Aileen, you mentioned the fact. Sorry, Owen.
Sorry, go ahead, Will. Go for it.
No, I was just going to say, like, we're looking in the background here. We talk about flying the Irish flag abroad. You've taken it to pretty literal levels on the show this morning with behind you. Are you living in a house with other Irish players at the moment, or are you just kind of carrying around the tricolour to keep the Aussies in check?
No, so at the minute I'm actually living with my sister and her boyfriend over here, and if you've seen the other side of the room, it's actually a Sligo flag that's flying, so it was either one or the other, and I couldn't put a Sligo flag over a Mayo flag, so we had to pick the Irish flag. Everyone's happy then.
It's interesting, Aileen, you mentioned there a few moments ago about the last couple of years that you've had, that this is year two for you, and I guess the first year comes off the back of that injury that you mentioned there. How, I guess, uncertain did you feel about this career taking off for you at that time, or the opportunity even presenting itself when you do your ACL and you think to yourself that this is going to be a bit of a tough injury to come back from to actually play in Ireland, let alone go over to Australia and make a name for myself down there?
Definitely, yeah. I suppose prior to me doing my knee, so I did in 2018, and that summer I'd actually seen the Cross Coders advertising, like, going for trials if you wanted to go for it. But my knee actually wasn't 100%. It was partially tore anyways. And then we played Galway in the quarterfinal, and then it fully went. So I was kind of like, right, that's the back foot. I'm not going to go for the AFL this year. But then it was actually our list manager, Reese. He dropped me a message in, I think it was May. And he was just like on Facebook, he's like, listen, we've seen a few videos off you. We're just wondering, would you be interested in coming to Australia? Automatically, like, I like wrote back to him and I was like, listen, I'm just after coming back from my second ACL, same knee. I don't think I'm able for it. And if I go out there, I want to give 100%. And I'm afraid that if I, you know, go over there, that I'm only going to be able to give you 60 or 70% after coming off my second ACL. And he was just like, well, preseason doesn't start until October, so if we can just keep an update on your like reports from Santry and see how you're going, I definitely think it's doable. So when I heard him that he had the confidence in me to be ready for October, that's when I was like, okay, sure, I have nothing to lose here. I'll just go over and see how I was going. And over here as well, even when I came over in early October, they were so careful, like I was going to physios maybe twice a week, checking up on me, checking up on my results, making sure that I had my control. And as I said earlier on, like, they wouldn't let me into contact until early December. So I was out there a good few months before I actually got into contact. So when I came over here, like, I can't recommend them highly enough. Like, they were so, so good to me in my recovery, and just looking after me, making sure everything's 100%. Like, everything over here is like about stats and how you're going and stuff like that. So I wasn't allowed back into training or anything like that until I was fully, fully right. After that, then I kind of, when I got back into contact, I knew I was 100% because they wouldn't have let me back in otherwise. So, yeah, it was in the back of my mind a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think if you start pulling out of tackles and stuff like that, you're more inclined to get hurt. So I just kind of went into it, into the deep end, and learned from that.
That must give you so much confidence, Aileen, when you know that you're injured and yet they are still willing to take a chance on you. They're still urging you to come over to Australia and to sign the contract and to be a part of the team. That level of confidence shown in you must have given you great confidence as well.
Yeah, I suppose it did. I was kind of going over there like with very, very little idea of the game. I didn't know really any of the results or the rules of the game, even the ball. Like, I've never really kicked a ball, like maybe three times, I think, before I actually came over to Australia. So definitely that was a big, big challenge. But like saying that again, I was just like, I had nothing to lose. Do you know, I just went for it. If it was a case that it didn't go well for me, all I was a flight home from to get home again. So it was a chance. I was leaving a full-time job, everything at home. I was leaving my friends, my family, my boyfriend. But again, it's only for like 6 months. So if it didn't work out, it didn't work out. But I'm not one for backing down from a challenge. So I was definitely going to come out here and try to prove a point.
Aileen, was there any frustration at the tail end of last year, you know, COVID bringing the season down in the way it did, given that, you know, North Melbourne were in such good form? It seemed on the face of it that, you know, North Melbourne against Fremantle was going to be a showdown for a final. And then everything just ended up getting wrecked by COVID-19. Was there a frustration across the club about that?
Yeah, there definitely was. It was just because, like, we didn't know what was happening. You know, they were saying, right, we're going to play off two semi-finals that try and shorten down and there will be winners. But then the next day, then it was like, okay, everything is cancelled. Like, you're all going home. And I was just like, okay, this is... It was just, it was so not knowing the uncertainty of everything. So that was kind of scary at the time. But I suppose it's just kind of at that time as well, you're thinking of everyone back home, what the whole world is actually going through. Do you know, like, and like at the end of the day, it's all about your health. It's not about football, no matter how much it is. So definitely it was a scary time. Like, when I look back on it now, it was just all a bit mad that it was like all called off over one day. But listen, you learn from these, I suppose. It's kind of like it was out of our control. We can only control what we can control. So we couldn't do a lot about it. We just had to get up and get on with it.
And when it comes to people at home, you're probably aware that they're able to watch on TG Carhartt. The live game started last week. That's quite the innovation that Women's AFL is now on Irish TV.
Absolutely. It's massive, especially after coming back from the 2020 campaign there last year, to get TG Carhartt on it. It's brilliant to see. I suppose it's, well, like, a lot of people back home probably wouldn't realise what's going on down here in Australia, and like just an eye-opener to the AFL. So it's brilliant, and just like it's amazing that they got on board and they're willing to do that. And you know, it's as well to encourage ladies in sport and just the opportunities that's out there that people can, especially young girls.
That encouragement in terms of the amount of Irish players who've gone to Australia is in a tremendous contrast to the Irish men's players who've gone previously. You know, the narrative seemed to be, Aileen, when lads got recruited at a teenage year here, it was almost like they were being stolen away from their GAA clubs. But for the best part, and even like I've been reading what Mick Bowen had to say about some of his frontline Dublin players going, it seems that ladies footballers are being actively encouraged to take this six-month opportunity. It's a massive contrast to the men who seem to be getting poached away with the way things were felt in the past.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I suppose, as you said, like, we have the best of both worlds. We can come out here, we can play our 6 months, and then we're back in for championship again. Whereas the men's, they're taken away from them at a young age. You know, it's not that they're offered a one-year contract. Normally, it's maybe like a 2 or 3 year contract. So definitely I can see from that point of view that the men's, they probably do feel like they have been like taken away from their main sport, obviously Gaelic at home. But I suppose for the girls, like, we have the best of both worlds. But saying that again, I'd say it'll probably going to change in the next maybe year or two, that the season over here is going to get a little bit longer. Come a year or two, I think it will, we'll end up making a decision of like, do we want to come out here or do we want to wait at home? But that point, I'm definitely going to enjoy the two worlds.
Well, I was just going to say, would that be a difficult decision if you had to make it? Say if the women's AFL season continues to expand, you can't come back in a neat window to be back for the championship for Mayo. If it was a case of choosing between championship with Mayo and going back to Australia, how difficult a decision would that be?
Oh, that'd be very, very tough. I suppose you're coming out here and you're living the good life and everything like that. But it's just kind of, it's the love of the game at home. Like, I probably wouldn't be out here only for Gaelic. So for that, it'd be a very, very hard decision. I suppose even you see like Gaelic footballers, like the Markeen going home, playing for his county, and what a joy he was to watch and to be able to play Gaelic again. It'd make a very hard decision to make. But for now, I'm happy to be able to play both. Again, I cross that hurdle or that bridge when it comes to it. If I have to make a decision, I will make a decision. You know, it mightn't happen for another 2 years, so I'd be a little bit older, so they might want me then anyway. So.
It's St Kilda for you this Sunday, Aileen. Is the ambition now, are you talking about it a lot, that a title is a realistic ambition for your team?
I suppose we're just taking it game by game. I suppose with the pandemic and COVID and everything going, what's going on, like last year, we didn't know what was going to happen. The next thing, it was just pulled from us. So as a club, as a team, as management, everything like that. I think we're just taking it game by game because that's all we can do. I know that the AFLW are definitely determined in getting a winners for this year. So, you know, I think it's important that we take it game by game, try and get our percentage up, try and get our scores up as high as possible. And if it's the case that it does happen, we want to be up there near the top. So hopefully, hopefully we'll just keep taking it game by game and keep getting the results that we wanted.
Well, good luck this weekend, Aileen, and thanks a million for taking the call. I appreciate it.
No bother at all. Thanks a million, guys, for having me on.
Cheers. That's Aileen Gilroy there on the line, having a brilliant start to the season. One game down with North Melbourne, and they, as I say, are up against St Kilda this weekend. You can keep an eye on TG Cahir for their deferred coverage at the weekend and on Monday nights as well at 8 o'clock. They've got highlights from all the weekend's AFLW action.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.